welcome to the corner of Hunter and George. This is episode number 19, Peterborough's Arts and Cultural Podcast, Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. Well, on this episode, discussing an artist called Anna Smirk, musician, off her own website, with a voice described as, quote, truly astonishing by Rolling Stone. Anna Smirk is a powerful singer and songmaker from Australia. Her songs are rhythmic, indie rock bombshells, equally satisfying for voice nerds and pop obsessives alike. Anna had a huge year. When the pandemic canceled her touring plans, she set to writing and recording a new EP, teaming up with producer Joel Quartermain, who's been with people like Eskimo Joe and Meg Mac and Mercy Mercy. And it's called The Hour Between Us, which is her current EP, which is out right now. The first single from the EP, Human Condition, was instantly added to the high rotation on national bestseller Double J and described as a soul-stirring by Dave Ruby Hooves of Triple J. The video for the track was added to rotation on MTV and launched with a string of sold-out shows. The EP's second single, The Excavator, was described by UK music site Backseat Mafia as pure orchestral, a rhythmic indie rock that brings to mind artists like Sharon Van Etten, while Scenester called it, quote, a mesmerizing listen that'll instantly hook you. The latest, most recent single, Daylight Saving, which you were just hearing at the beginning there, was premiered by Rolling Stone, who called it a cathartic anthem, cementing Anna's reputation as an artistic force to be reckoned with. Now, prior to 2021, Anna released two EPs that were applauded by critics in Australia, at least. ABC Radio National called her first record exquisite, while her second release was described as a glorious piece of musical storytelling by the AU Review. She's toured widely, performing at festivals and venues throughout Australia and the UK, and now I include Canada. Since leaving the small town where she grew up, travel has been a major part of Anna's life. She spent about 5 years living in Cambodia, the Solomon Islands, and the Philippines, working as a consultant for the World Health Organization. She's currently juggling releasing new music with supporting the COVID-19 vaccine rollout in Papua New Guinea. With a life shared between places, it's no wonder many of her songs are about long-distance relationships, loneliness, and trying to connect. I will add my own here. First of all, she recently played in Peterborough, Ontario. That's why it's on this program at our Black Horse Pub. I applaud Black Horse Pub greatly, and I'm going to mention that in my notes that they had her on back last month in May. And also, she's going to be playing this upcoming weekend. I have this out before June 18th, where she's going to be playing at North by Northeast at the Horseshoe Tavern. And I talked to her from Toronto in our interview. And just the last point that you heard there, where her songs often are about long-distance relationships, loneliness, and trying to connect, well, that's certainly something I kind of pounded on with our interview. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this. First time I've gotten to interview an Aussie, so...
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, nice to see you.
See you.
Good, glad you were able to make this. Yeah, I just host a kind of really small art cultural podcast out of Peterborough. So,
lovely.
And you came to my attention because you recently were here at our Black Horse Pub, and I really compliment them for having you, because that kind of introduced me to your music. And
oh, that's great.
I've made some wonderful discoveries, both about your music and your background and your career as well. So where are you right now today?
I'm in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Just got back here today, so just getting to the end of the tour now. There's one more show on the weekend here in Toronto, and then we're all done.
Okay.
So this
has been an Eastern Canadian tour.
It has, stuck to the east this time. Hopefully get to the west at some point, but it's a pretty big country you've got here, so just tackling it one bit at a time.
Yeah, massively.
Yeah.
And like you started, I believe, in Halifax or something like that, and have sort of gone west since then.
Well, we actually started in Toronto, and we've kind of went east and ended up, yeah, in Nova Scotia, a few shows in around Nova Scotia and in Halifax and a couple of other towns, and then sort of worked our way back again to Toronto. So it's been a bit of a loop.
Right. And I noticed you're this weekend, you're at Toronto's North by Northeast, playing at the Horseshoe, which, I'm sure someone's probably told you this, but that's probably one of Toronto's most storied, venues, kind of started as a country kind of place in the 40s or 50s, but it's had people like the Rolling Stones, the Police, the Talking Heads, the Ramones were there once too. So.
Yeah, so I hear. I didn't really realize that it was such an iconic venue, but it's I'm really looking forward to it. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so that's good. I hope that goes well for you. So, yeah, thanks to again Black Horse Pub having you and sort of me discovering your music, because I also sort of do a radio show, a community of on a community station of that sort of linked me to this and. I discovered your Hour Between Us EP, and that seems to be sort of, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm noticing sort of a bit of an overall theme to that EP of a bit of a kind of a reflection of a fear of intimacy, or maybe it's kind of more of a COVID kind of related thing of the forced like kind of solitude. Or perhaps a bit of both. I don't know if you have anything to say about that.
Yeah, no, that's a good observation. I think some of the songs were written during COVID and during lockdowns, and I was reflecting a lot about, connection and the things that sort of bring us together or keep us apart. And some of the songs were written pre-pandemic when I was doing a lot of traveling between touring and the other work that I do. I was away a lot. So some of the other songs are about that sort of question of how you maintain, how you maintain those close relationships with the people that you care about when you're not around very much, and like sort of questioning some of those choices about, what's important, I suppose.
Right. And like one, a few tracks I get from that, one is Daylight Savings, but, the other one is like Human Condition, where I think you say something like loneliness is a part of living. And that's sort of like, I guess, like how you have to sort of sometimes kind of live with kind of a disconnection or from other people, or it's sort of that's going to be sometimes you're just going to have you yourself kind of thing.
I like that interpretation of it. I think I was sort of writing that from a place of little bit of frustration. It was written during a lockdown, but I was thinking more broadly, I guess, about just our world and the way that our society, I suppose, is structured. And I think what the lockdowns really showed me was that we need each other to be well. We really need that sense of connection, and even when there's not a pandemic going on, I don't think that our world is necessarily built to kind of foster that sense of community and connection that I think is really important. So I think when I was writing that song, I was sort of thinking about that idea of loneliness being a part of living as sort of a modern dilemma, I suppose. It's the way that many of us live, quite kind of disconnected from, the people right next door from us, the people across the street, just the people a lot of us, I think, are missing that sense of community in our lives, which is a bit of a sad thing, I think.
Yes, I kind of realized that recently myself. I mean, I've become so used to doing these Zoom things that it kind of it was starting to feel, dare I say, almost natural. But lately I had somebody on who is just a poet from this area who said he was sick of Zoom and wanted to meet in person. So, and I just realized, like, unfortunately my device that day didn't work, but whatever, the experience of just seeing someone in person seems to just, is almost starting to be forgotten about by myself, besides the people I'm closest to, and just that, just something you take away from that is maybe like a little more you can do, and something like online and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So now you have, among many other things, you have, I think, like your music, does it? It maybe comes from a certain like kind of folkish kind of bass point, if that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah.
But I believe I've heard you say in past interviews that your first instrument was the violin.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And what age were you when you first picked that up?
I was 8 when I started learning the violin. You know, there was always kind of music around the house. My dad played the guitar and he would often play music with his friends and things like that. And my older sister was learning the piano. And for some reason, I don't know how I got this idea into my head, but I really wanted to play the violin. And so I kind of pestered my parents until they let me do that. And I ended up, learning the violin for a good 10 or 12 years. And that was my first instrument, but I picked up a few other instruments along the way. And, but I think, that's probably been an influence in especially my early writing, was that more kind of folky stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like when you're doing the violin, I interpret that as being an instrument where you better be disciplined and you better be prepared to practice all the time. Is that something that instrument gave you for at least a certain time period?
Yeah, I think absolutely. That's it. You've got to be on top of your practice when it comes to the violin. Otherwise, it doesn't really work. So I think, you know, I don't really play it anymore for that reason, because, you know, I'm not keeping up that really regular practice and you lose that muscle memory. But I think you're right that it taught me a certain kind of discipline that I apply in different ways now, I think, you know, because I'm working, I guess, as a singer-songwriter primarily now rather than an instrumentalist. When I can, I like to be quite disciplined about songwriting and sort of have sort of set times and routines that I try to use. It doesn't always work like that because I'm often on the road and things like that. But I think just that sort of drive and discipline to sit down and do the thing, whether it's the practice or the songwriting or sending all those emails you've got to send to organize the shows. I think that probably did teach me a lot.
Okay. And I think as your careers evolve, you've picked up like a steel guitar. Is that correct? Yeah.
Right.
Is that right now kind of your primary instrument, would you say, or is that varies?
Yeah, I think guitar is the instrument I do the most writing on. I don't think of myself as like an amazing guitarist, I suppose. I think of my main instrument as my voice these days. I think that's the instrument that I spend the most time with. But yeah, I'll either write on piano or guitar.
Okay. Well, it'd be unjust to me, not to mention, your voice, which I, think that's definite as like a great strength of yours, to put it mildly. you have a rare talent that way, and Rolling Stone seems to agree with me, Rolling Stone magazine, so yeah. And who is your band that you've been traveling with or that you made The Hour Between Us with, or is it the same thing, I assume?
Yeah, well, a little bit different. So I made The Hour Between Us with a producer in Australia called Joel Quatermain, and he played a lot on the record as well. He played the drums and bass, and I brought in Alex Burkoy, who's a violinist that I've been playing with for quite a few years now. He plays violin and guitar in my live show, and the two of us have been touring around Canada for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's been a bit of a stripped down kind of duo, more acoustic version of those songs. Back home, I often play with a musician called Loz Irwin Ray. She's a wonderful bass player and keys player. And when we can, we bring a drummer in as well, depending on the show. So, you know, it's always a little bit different depending on the type of show that we're doing, the size of the venue and things like that, which I like. I like to kind of keep the arrangements kind of fluid and change it up.
Right. And am I correct in saying, so I've admittedly haven't heard enough of your earlier music, but one album of yours that I'll get into more later that I heard a lot of and quite loved was Swim. And was that more of a stripped down kind of like more you on your own kind of solo that album?
Well, I did play with quite a few other musicians for that one, but it's definitely more kind of stripped down and acoustic, more acoustic instruments, more in that kind of folky style of being a bit more live and less kind of studio produced, I guess. So for that record, I played with a whole different band, a bunch of people that I kind of grew up with, I guess, and played a lot of music with when I was young. a lap steel player, a banjo player, a violinist, a mandolin player, some bass and drums in there for a couple of tracks as well. So yeah, a bit more of those sort of acoustic instruments on that record.
Right. Now, at the moment, I'd say my favorite song of yours, if I was to pick one, was Excavation, which more than just kind of dealing with loneliness or solitude, it seems to be dealing with the matter of death, which I don't know. This is just something I kind of sometimes think for on and off, that's sort of part of all of us, that we kind of everything we do is a little bit about kind of ignoring the fact that we're one day going to have to face that topic. I don't know if you have any thoughts or feelings on that, or in the song itself as well, of course.
Yeah, look, I think that song is definitely a little bit of a confrontation of that idea. Mm-hmm. It was written about my partner and the time that he and his brother and sister spent sort of cleaning out the old family house that they grew up in after their father passed away. So it's definitely it's really about watching somebody else go through that sort of that journey, that sort of grappling with the idea of I guess your parents' mortality and by extension your own. And sort of, you know, seeing that happen from one step removed. I'm very close to the process, but it's not necessarily my grief. It was an interesting experience and something that song took me quite a long time to write, because I think it was very close to me emotionally. So it took me a little bit of time to get enough distance, I suppose, to be able to write the song.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it comes out. I really love how the chorus works in that song and everything. It just is really well put together. Now, well, this is an Eastern Canadian tour for you. You have seemed to have been, you've had quite a lengthy global experience of doing different things. And that,
yes.
I don't know if everyone knows about you, that you've had a long history with the World Health Organization. So you've been to places like Solomon Islands, Cambodia and Philippines, and Papua New Guinea, I believe, as well. What have these experiences added to your life and to your music in general?
A huge amount, yeah. I think I wouldn't even be able to fully appreciate it myself, probably, how informative they've been. But I do definitely feel that whenever I'm traveling with that work is when I find myself to be somehow in a very creative place, even though when I'm usually working in those kinds of roles, it's very intense work, it's very hectic, you're working long hours and things like that. But I think the experience of being in a new place and really having to reflect on what you're doing and how you're being in a place and the cultural aspects, how you're relating to people, it really seems to provide some sort of fertile ground for ideas to pop up. So I do a lot of writing when I'm in different places, or at least I do a lot of that's where a lot of the seeds for songs come from. And then when I have some time to work on them, they develop. So I think that's been one big part of it. It's been a big inspiration. I've also been able to play a lot of music with musicians from lots of different places, which has been amazing, particularly in Cambodia and also the Solomon Islands. I got to know some really, really amazing local musicians who taught me songs from those places and kind of, just opened my eyes a little bit to different aspects of music that I haven't, you don't encounter so easily from where I'm from. Mm-hmm. So that's been really, really interesting too.
I'll just bring up Swim, and I don't know if you could say anything about the song Benjamin off that album, because I think that's it's kind of related to that experience.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I think that's a good example of how a place has influenced me musically, because that song I wrote, I lived in the Solomon Islands for about 3 years. And I wrote that song towards the beginning of that time. And when I first got to the Solomons, I think I did have a little bit of a culture shock. It was quite different from anywhere else I'd lived. And I took me a little bit of time to sort of find my feet there and figure out how things worked. And then there was a bit of a break over Christmas, and I spent about a week on this very, very tiny little island out in the western province of the Solomons. And it's the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Tropical islands, the kind of thing that, you know, you see on postcards, but it's real life and there's just nobody around, and it's crazy beautiful. And yeah, this tiny little island where I was staying, there was a family that lived there, and they were very, very welcoming and generous, and they taught me a lot. They taught me a lot of language, the Solomon Islands pidgin language. I really learned a lot from them. And they just spending time with them was a really, really important part of my kind of understanding of how things work. And how things like time work a little bit differently from how I was used to. And it was very, they were just very, very lovely and generous to me. And Benjamin was the father of that family, and he was a real kind of pillar of the community. He brought people together from all over that region. And yeah, it had this really beautiful quality of holding space, I think, for people, including me. So and that's kind of where that song comes from.
Right. Well, that's lovely, that kind of depth of experience. Now, I think on a just a lighter side, just the things that I've been researching you is I've picked up you've had your like psychological frustrations or struggles with Wordle. You can tell me if that's correct or not. But
I got very deep into the Wordle craze for a while there. I'm still like partially into it, but I think I've let go a little bit of like, you know, tying my sense of self-worth to my Wordle score for the day, which is good. I think that's healthy.
Right. No, I think it is. Yeah. Were you doing it at the beginning of the day generally, or like I guess touring and everything is probably all over the place.
But... Yeah. Look, I have zero routine right now. Everything's all over the place. So just whenever I get a spare few minutes.
right. Yes. Well, you're saving yourself probably a lot of despair if you've let it go then.
I think it's been good.
Yeah. Give me for like, Australia is always a place I've been fascinated with, and I don't get the chance to talk to too many right now, but I don't want to put you in this spokesperson kind of role, but I guess, how do you, I know you recently had an election and, first time in a while Labor government was elected, but I don't know, have you felt a certain sense with your home country lately of some kind of urgent crises, like both from an environmental perspective and other issues that have come up, like your refugee crisis and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think it's hard to ignore the climate situation in Australia, given the last couple of years, the kinds of extreme weather events that we've been seeing, the fires, the floods. And I think that, to me, that does feel like a little bit of a shift. I think perhaps those things have made the issue of climate change a little bit more tangible for people that didn't really feel that it maybe applied to them or was going to impact their lives before. So I'm hopeful that there has been some shift there, and that there will be more support for stronger action. And you know, being a musician, I think I hope that there will be, you know, greater support for the arts as well than perhaps we've seen in the last couple of years. So yeah, I think that there's a sense of optimism right now. To be honest, I haven't been there since the election, so I'm looking forward to getting back and seeing what the energy is like.
Okay, great. Now, sometimes our university experiences have nothing to do with our lives 5 or 10 years later, but I noticed you have a BA in anthropology. I don't have the school down, I'm sorry, but it doesn't really matter. But has that affected you anyway, that like just that field of study and how you've approached life, or what's become like sort of like essential for you?
I think so. I think it's really influenced the kind of work that I've gone on to do, and just the way I've structured my life, because studying anthropology really taught me a lot about I guess the relativism of cultural values, and I think that's been really that's really made me want to explore living in different places, and that's informed the kind of work that I've wanted to do, as well as, you know, all the touring and things that I'm doing. I think a big part of the appeal there is that I get to explore different cultures. I think I've always kind of had that fascination, but studying anthropology really kind of stoked the fire, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And like, is it fair to say that through anthropology, but also what you've done in like the Solomon Islands and that, where you said you discovered like a lot of richness of music and various other places as well, is there certain places out in the Pacific that maybe the rest of us have not discovered a lot of like the richness of their musical heritage or past, such as like we have with like say Africa and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I definitely think so. You know, I talked a little bit about the Solomons, but also in Cambodia, I was working there for an organization that tries to sort of preserve some traditional art forms as well as sort of creating new Cambodian art and music and culture. And there's such interesting, beautiful music coming out of some of these places and the musicians that I knew from Cambodia. And I think we, like, in Australia, I don't know about here, but in Australia we would never hear that kind of music, you know. So I think that's been special to be able to access that kind of thing that I wouldn't have ever heard, you know. Right. But I wish that it was that more people got to hear it, because there's such interesting, beautiful stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, yes. I hope I do someday. No, it isn't really well known here in any sense. But now you started, if I'm correct in saying your background, like your geographical background of where you come from, it's something like Central Victoria or something like that in Australia. Right, yeah. And am I correct in saying it's kind of like a rural, almost like country background you have then?
Yeah, pretty like kind of a small town where I grew up in. And I grew up on about 10 acres, like a very small little hobby kind of farm. My parents were both teachers, and we had a little bit of land. So yeah, definitely kind of a country style upbringing.
Mm-hmm. And would you say that musically as well, as like kind of a background as well?
I guess I grew up listening to the music my parents liked, which was, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of kind of 60s and 70s folk singer-songwriters, you know, Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan, all that kind of mm-hmm. era, which I think did inform my songwriting. I really love songs that tell a bit of a story, and I think that's probably where I got that from. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess that's what I started out listening to when I was little.
Mm-hmm. And like I see that you're kind of, the more you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think what I've got from listening to you is your kind of sound has kind of evolved from kind of a, like a more kind of solo folk kind of sound to more of like, it definitely has a lot more of a band oriented sound than what you have The Hour Between Us, or even what you've done recently in the last couple of years. Is that a fair kind of interpretation, would you say? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, that was definitely what I was going for with the last record, with The Hour Between Us. I had just put out a couple of EPs before that, and they were both sort of how I was describing before, a lot more, I was going for a much more folky, acoustic sounding, live sounding records. But yeah, I really wanted to explore something a little bit different with this latest one. I have always loved, you know, kind of indie rock, indie pop music. And I wanted to just, I guess it was a bit of a pandemic project as well, to be honest. Like, I wasn't really expecting to make a record in 2020 and release it in 2021, but I had a bunch of time on my hands. So I think I had more time to like really think about how I wanted the next record to be sonically, and to really explore different stuff that I might not have had time to think about in the same way. But yeah, it's been really fun, like bringing in some other kind of stylistic elements and other instruments and other kind of references. Yeah, I've really enjoyed the process. And I think the next record that I'm starting to record in the next few weeks, actually, will continue along that line.
Right. Okay. And like what sort of sounds do you find yourself exploring now? Kind of the same thing as The Hour Between Us, or something even of a different colors kind of thing?
Yeah, I think something that's pretty closely related to The Hour Between Us, although I'd like to be with this next record. I think I'm hearing some music at the moment coming out that's making use of some really kind of cool vintage 80s sounds, which I really like. So I'm interested to explore that a little bit. And yeah, just to be exploring, I don't know, I'm really interested in a kind of like light and shade, I suppose. I really like songs that that kind of take you on a bit of a journey of like dynamically and emotionally, and I think that's what I was starting to explore a bit with the last record, and I kind of want to dig into that a little bit with the next one.
Okay. And now, speaking of the 80s, that's funny. I've honestly had this debate in the past of what is the greatest Australian pop song of all time. And a lot of 80s references come up. I don't know. I remember used to think it was like Throw Your Arms Around Me, but that's guess. Others times I've thought, oh, maybe it's You're the Voice. I don't know. But I don't know. Do you have some like favorites Australian pop songs of the 80s, since you're sort of thinking of the 80s yourself?
Ooh. That's a tough one.
It is tough, yes. But
I mean, those two that you mentioned are both classics. I think there's probably, you know, I'd be a remiss. I wouldn't be a proper Australian if I didn't mention Kylie Minogue when it comes to pop music in the 80s. I'm not sure if I would call those the greatest pop songs coming from Australia, but I think they're definitely influential.
She certainly made her mark anyway.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And okay, so you're just almost when you're done North by Northeast, before too long, you're soon going to go back. Am I correct in saying to Australia, you're saying?
So from there, I go to Nashville for a couple of weeks, and that's where I'm starting to record the next record. So I'll be there for a few weeks, and then home to Australia for about a month. And then through August and September, I'm going to be in Europe doing some shows. So busy time.
Okay. And this tour itself, I guess, has had sort of a variety of settings and audiences. I hope the experience in Peterborough went okay for you.
Yeah, it was lovely. Really beautiful place.
Yes. Okay, that's great. I guess one thing I was kind of wondering about as well is if there is sort of one track from The Hour Between Us that you think sort of kind of symbolizes the album for you in a way. Is there one you would pick from that? Just sort of a routine I do where I ask you.
I think it's probably Human Condition. That's the song that seems to be resonating with people most from the record, and I think it's ended up being my favorite. I just think it was the first song that we recorded out of the EP, and I think it really sort of helped me to crystallize what I wanted to do with the rest of the record. So I feel like that's the song that it was kind of the turning point, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, no, definitely. Thank you very much for this. I really appreciate you coming on and taking your time and talking to me. Glad I didn't get to see you, but I hope you seem to be someone who I think always from the beginning was like really fascinated in the world beyond of where you grew up and everything. And you definitely are not caught up in any solipsism that seems to be, it's not just relegated to artists, seems to be a lot of society in general these days. So I compliment you for that. And I'll have to ask this though before I go, or I'll regret not asking this. Like, have you taken like years of voice lessons, or has it just sort of come to you like somebody gave you a bunch of talent, mom or dad? Yeah.
No, I mean, it's definitely a good portion of hard work that goes alongside it as well. Yeah, I did. I studied voice through my teen years, and I don't know what you call it here in Canada, but the sort of final year of high school, one of the subjects that I did was music, and the instrument that I was performing on was voice. So I've studied it over the years. I mean, I think that was sort of the foundation. And now I'm kind of, you know, you're kind of, I wouldn't say that, you know, I'm a textbook, you know, technical singer or anything like that, but it gave me, you know, enough of a foundation to do what I do now.
Okay. And do you have to, is it taking like taking these long tours to sort of take a toll on it, where you have to make sure you're taking care of it in a certain way? Or
definitely have to make sure you're taking care of it. It's been okay, this tour. It's, I've been able to sort of stay healthy and feel strong vocally. I think, yeah, there's just lots of, you know, it's really just basic health and well-being stuff. You've got to try and stay hydrated and get enough sleep and all that stuff. And if you're not doing that, it's tough to stay well vocally. But I think it's been actually really nice to get back into doing a long string of shows. It's like kind of the more that you do it, it's like building a muscle, I suppose. It is building a muscle. So it's been good to sort of feel myself getting back into shape after a couple of years of not playing so much, not singing so much.
Okay. Well, again, thank you very much for this. And I hope we hear and see a lot more of you, both in Canada and the world beyond as well.
Oh, well, I hope right. so too. Okay. Thanks All for
right.
the chat.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right. Take care.
Bye.
Old friends, what's up with you? Your eyes are darker shade of blue. Your skin is thin, I see the veins right through. Good God, you're standing there in last night's clothes, no underwear. Your fingers bleed from picking at the skin.
Hearing background noise during that interview. I hope it didn't impinge your pleasure too much. She was at a hotel room in Toronto, so, you know.
AnnaSmyrk.com, S-M-Y-R-K. It's not too hard a spelling for you, I hope. And The Hour Between Us is the EP she has released lately. It was released in 2021, actually, but three, like, just genuine, outstanding, top-tier music songs in that I love. Human Condition, Daylight Saving, The Excavator. You were just hearing Human Condition right there. And I'll see you next time on Corner of Hunter and George. And I am delighted, even though one's national identity is not really one's identity, not in a great way anyway, but it does admittedly feel delightful to have interviewed an Aussie.
Summer cleaning out your